Are the New Testament Gospels reliable historical documents? How can a loving God allow evil in the world? You'll find answers to these questions in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, Making the Case for Christianity, Responding to Modern Objections. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Making the Case for Christianity.
Mommy?
Yes, Colton?
Did you know I have a sister?
You didn't know that Cassie's your sister?
No, I have two sisters. You had a baby die in your tummy, didn't you?
Honey, who told you I had a baby die in my tummy?
In heaven, this little girl came up to me. She told me she died in your tummy.
We need to get him in surgery right away.
The pain that I suffered watching my son that close to death.
We're in trouble here. He's much worse. Will you call some friends and pray for him?
The hospital staff said that your son was not expected to survive. Use the word miracle.
Your son had a near-death experience.
He saw things that I can't really explain.
I lifted up and I looked down. Mom was in one room. You were in another room yelling at God.
Well, that's a bit of the trailer from the hit movie Heaven is for Real, based upon an equally popular book from a couple of years ago. A little boy dies on the operating table, allegedly dies on the operating table, spends some time in heaven, and then comes back to life to tell the story. Joining us to review the movie Heaven is for Real on this Thursday afternoon, April the 24th, Pastor Ted Giese. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, a regular contributor to the Canadian Lutheran Magazine, and he's taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
This is one of the things that appeals to me least. I am a movie buff. I like all different kinds of movies, but the ones I generally don't have time to go see, even if I have time in my schedule, are Christian movies, because they're generally pretty poor and they're kind of preachy. Is this the typical preachy Christian movie?
Well, like you said, that a lot of times they're generally fairly poor. Like, I would say this isn't the typical Christian preachy movie because it's got a better budget. It's got, actors that people would recognize from other films. It's got a person who helped write the screenplay, who's an Academy Award-nominated writer, and he's also the director. So it's above average for those kinds of elements. I think that makes it a bit of a different movie. This is one of these movies, and we've had a couple now that we've been talking about that they're kind of coming up out of the church basement and coming into the multiplexes in a bigger way. And this is one of those kinds of ones. The production value is quite a lot better than most of these.
Well, is it a Christian movie? In other words, is there anything explicitly Christian in this movie?
Yeah. It's a story about a pastor and his family and his son who has a kind of a near-death experience when he's having an emergency appendectomy surgery. And not that he died, but that during that surgery he had this experience with heaven and seeing Jesus and angels. And, you know, they're in church a lot because his dad's a pastor. They are singing, "Come Thou Font of Every Blessing." Like, you know, it has Christian things in it. It would be hard to say that it's not a Christian film. It's definitely a Christian-themed film, but, you know, there's kind of still some things that are certainly wanting in it from my personal point of view. But, yeah, I would have to say that it's a Christian film, for sure. It's in that genre. It's just above average.
Now, it has what a lot of films involving, I'm going to use the general term here, and please understand me, Pastor Giese, the paranormal. It has that element in it, the story itself, which is, you know, something happens that happens every day to people. You know, they have a crisis of life hanging by a thread on an operating table. But then this kid comes back, and the element that's kind of I think has the paranormal appeal to it is that the kid starts revealing things that he could not have otherwise known.
Yeah, you know, last year we talked about this movie called The Conjuring that came out, and it's about a family on a farm who start seeing ghosts, and it's, you know, purported to be a true story, and it's based on a book, and the family says that these things happened. And that's a paranormal thing, too, but The Conjuring, of course, is a movie that's intended to make you jump out of your skin. It's a horror film, but it involves this paranormal stuff. So here we've got a movie where you've got a child who is, you know, revealing things about life after death. And if you watch the trailer, like, the trailer even kind of sets it up like maybe this is going to be a horror film, and then it, like, quickly shifts gears and it's not, you know, like, but, you know, like, there are a couple notes along the way in the film where, you know, like, there is a spot where the kid's demanding that the family make sure that they definitely pay the doctor who did the surgery. And as they're talking about it, then, you know, like, there's this big wind and the door slams shut, you know, out to the patio, and, you know, and there's kind of, it's a storm and stuff like that. So it's got these little notes in it that kind of put it into this kind of paranormal area. But, yeah, it's kind of a fascinating thing. Like, for instance, this movie is not intended to scare anybody. It's intended to be heartwarming and you know, in theory, helpful to their faith.
Does it pull that off? Does it pull off the heartwarming part? Because that's not easy to do in cinema.
You know, it does. I mean, it's. I think I had said in the review that it's above average in terms of film. So it's better than a made-for-TV Hallmark Hall of Fame movie, but it's not at, like, the Oscar award-winning kind of movie, right? So it's just, like, above average. But there are some really heartwarming things in the movie, and the actors do quite a good job. You have Greg Kinnear, who's a very good actor. He's an Oscar-nominated actor. He was nominated for his role in As Good as It Gets. And then you have this Kelly Riley, who's a very good actress, too. She was in, I think, the last Sherlock Holmes movie that came out. And they're the parents in this family, and they have a very heartwarming and even romantic relationship as a married couple. And that's really good. The child actor in the movie as well, this Connor Corum, who plays Colton Burpo, is... You know, for a very young kid, he's very heartwarming and, you know, adorable. And all of that stuff kind of comes off quite well. So in that way, it's, you know, it's there's certain elements of it. I enjoyed watching their family and the way the family was portrayed more than I enjoyed the additional elements about heaven and other things that come up in the film.
That's what I'm curious about. That's what we'll talk about on the other side of the break for those who are planning to see it or not planning to see it. How is heaven depicted in the film Heaven Is For Real, based upon the book by the same title? We're reviewing that movie with Pastor Ted Giese on this Thursday afternoon, April the 24th. Pastor Giese's taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity and the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Is dressing up to be there too. Like we always do. Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see? Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California. Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas. University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska. And Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
In Higher Things, we believe that if you put good Christ crucified for you Lutheranism into a youth, you'll get a good Christ crucified for you Lutheran youth. Join us this July at the Higher Things Crucified Youth Conferences in Florida, Wisconsin, Utah. Check us out at www.higherthings.org. Higherthings.org. Dare your youth to be Lutherans this summer.
Epiphany Lutheran Church in Door, Michigan gathers to receive our Lord's gifts in word, baptism, and supper every Sunday morning at 9:15. Bible study at 11. Join us at 4219 Park Lane in Door, or visit us on the web, epiphanydoor.org. Christ-centered, cross-focused, historic, confessional, liturgical. Epiphany Lutheran Church in Door, Michigan. epiphanydoor.org. 616-681-0791.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're reviewing the movie Heaven Is For Real on this Thursday afternoon, April the 24th. Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. I'm curious about it, not curious enough to actually go see the movie, but how is heaven depicted? I mean, usually you get something, you get lots of light, kind of blinding silhouettes, you know, ghost-like figures, some smoke machine action going on there. How is heaven depicted in a film that is intended to convey a young man's experience of heaven itself?
Some of it's very vague. Other things are quite concrete. You know, there's a point where he sees his miscarried sister. And I mean, it's just shot like there's another actor playing that part and you see the kid there. So sometimes it's very concrete, but they do kind of obscure certain elements. I mean, it's not as vibrant and vivid as Scripture portrays it, and it's also not as vibrant and vivid as the book Heaven Is For Real portrays it. So they kind of don't get all of the stuff in it that you'd find even in the book.
I mean, the kid came back with some pretty detailed descriptions of seeing a dead grandfather, of seeing Jesus, winged human beings, things like that. Did they get any of that in there, or did they kind of...
Yeah, in the book it says that all of the people in heaven except Jesus have wings. Well, you don't see that in this. Like, there are some angels that kind of are kind of wingy, but they're kind of not that easy to see, and they're way off in the distance. You really don't see Jesus' face until the end, and that's really for a reason. It's because of a kind of a narrative plot line that they've got. But yeah, like that, like there's no, like in the book, you know, he talks about Jesus having a rainbow colored horse and some stuff like that. That's not in the movie. Like those things you don't end up seeing.
All right. Now, I guess this will be right in your wheelhouse as a consumer and a critic of film media. There's a way that you can kind of ruin your premise if you depict heaven in a film titled Heaven Is For Real as less than real. Did the film do that? Did it make it kind of a dream sequence or not quite as real as the family's claiming it is?
Well, yeah, that's going to be, I don't know. For me, it didn't. Maybe I was ruined by having just read the book, right? And like I was expecting to maybe see what was in the book in the film, and quite a few things that were in the book just weren't in the film. So for me, it didn't get there. Plus, you know, each Christian has an idea of what that's all going to look like, and it just didn't match up with that for me personally, not from what I've read in Scripture. So maybe my imagination is too vivid. I don't know, but I mean, there were definitely parts of it that were very concrete, you know, like things looked concrete, and that adds to the realness of it. But overall, yeah, every person who sees it's going to have a different reaction to that particular question. For me, it didn't feel super real in the way that I would expect some elements were.
But so maybe they're conceding a little bit to the popular notion that heaven is kind of just a dreamlike state, not too more real than this reality. Your thoughts there?
Yeah, I mean, it's the added element to this makes it complicated is that it's all kind of told in flashback, right? All, for the most part, like he's telling these things to his parents after the fact, so there is kind of an element of memory embedded in the story itself as the film is progressing. So that it's just kind of in an in-between place. It's not definitive.
Okay, you say there's a missed opportunity in the preaching that's actually in this film. How would you describe it with a couple minutes before we wrap it up?
Yeah, there's lots of preaching in the movie. The child's father is a pastor, and the missed opportunity is that, it's based on a true story, these real people, so I don't know if they've gone and they've actually looked at his sermons that he preached or if he provided them or not, but they just aren't very clear about how you get to heaven. Like, if you walked out of this movie and go, yeah, for sure, heaven is for real, but you never thought about it before, and you'd know that Jesus is there and the people you loved are there, but it just doesn't come right out and say, this is how you get there, and that is Jesus. The book itself is more specific about that. There's a thing in the book where it says, you need Jesus to get to heaven. Right now, evangelicals will look at that differently than Christians, Lutheran Christians or Roman Catholic Christians will look at that. But in the end, the book says, you need Jesus to get to heaven. The movie just doesn't put as fine a point on that. And in the preaching moments in the film, it really could be there. So you kind of end up with this heartwarming film without a heavenly roadmap. There's no Jesus getting you there, which is, for me, a little bit of a problem. It's a big problem. It's the biggest problem with it. If you're a Christian, you can go and see it, and maybe you know this, but, there's that axiom, the gospel assumed is the gospel denied. I just wish that they'd been more clear on that in making this film.
Finally, with only 30 seconds, would you recommend that our listeners actually go see this film?
If you've not read this book and you have no real desire to go, then, it's fine. You don't have to go. If you read the book and you want to see it and see what they did with it, go on ahead and see it. I mean, it's hard to, if they had been really good about saying how you get to heaven and that Jesus is the way you get to heaven, that he gets you there, then I would say, hey, everybody go see this movie. But they didn't. So it's tough for me to say go see it, but people may want to go see it. If they do, just think about it and be prepared to answer that question for people if you get asked it. Or be ready to bring it up when you talk to people. Hey, do you know how to get to heaven? You know how you get there? That would be Jesus and what Jesus did for you, his death, his resurrection, his ascension. He's the one who's going to get you there. Just like the end of, just like the Apostles' Creed says, for instance. That would be great.
Folks, you can read Pastor Ted Giese's review of Heaven is for Real at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts, associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, a regular contributor to the Canadian Lutheran Magazine. Ted, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on Issues, Etc. Oh, by the way, next time we're going to be talking with Pastor Ted Giese, and we'll be reviewing the movie The Amazing Spider-Man 2. Tomorrow on Issues, Etc., we'll talk with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller about the differences between Roman Catholicism and confessional Lutheranism. There are a lot of similarities. A lot of them are right there on the surface. Lutherans and Roman Catholics often look the same. That's actually a good thing. And they believe a lot of the same things. That's also a good thing. But there are some serious basic differences between the two, and we'll talk about those with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller tomorrow on Issues, Etc. We'll discuss evidence for the resurrection with Craig Parton, and we'll continue our Christ in the Old Testament series talking with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer about 2 Chronicles chapter 13. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift during the Easter season, we'll send you a CD of an Easter sermon and a sermon on the prophet Job preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between Easter Sunday and Ascension Day, we'll send you a CD of two of Todd's sermons.